there, and welcome to your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and you're in for another special treat on Take Two. We have a great guest with us. He's a friend of Take Two's, a fan favorite, and we're going to learn all about Divine Mercy. That's right, the Diary of St. Faustina. So we are grabbing your questions that you sent in to Take Two, and you can add to that mailbag by getting in touch with us, and I'll share with you in just a moment. But I want to bring our dear friend up on air with us. Rick Paolini is with us from the Station of the Cross, a wonderful radio network that is that has always been loyal to Take Two for over 10 years. He's the business manager. He's also the host of the podcast with Father Jacek Mazur, Divine Mercy in My Soul. Rick Paolini, welcome back to Take Two.
Well, thank you for having me. It's really a pleasure and an honor to be with you, Debbie, and I'm looking forward to the show.
Oh, I am as well, Rick. I went into the mailbag and I grabbed all the questions on Divine Mercy, and boy, oh boy, do our listeners have a lot to share and ask about this wonderful devotion, so we'll get to that in just a moment. Okay, we still do not have phones today, but you can reach us, and it's so easy to do. You can reach us by texting us, and you can ask a question to Rick about Divine Mercy, and it all you have to do is text the letters EWTN to 58177. You wait for our response, then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Rick, and just know that message and data rates may apply. I'm a little bit under the weather. I've got a little bit of a sore throat, but this is such an important topic. I'm going to try to power through it so that we can get all your questions answered. Also, you can email us, take2@ewtn.com, and you can also go and drop your comments or questions in the chats on social media. Get those chats going, and Pedro will happily pick them up. Michael McCall, our wonderful producer, is at the controls, and then we are just going to hit the ground running with the first question. So Rick, I've got the questions. I put them all together, so it's going to be super easy for us to just run down the line and ask the question, and then you can answer for us. Now, if I stop you midway, it's only because I want to make sure that we're crystal clear on this devotion so that we can start practicing it today. Sounds good? You ready for the first question?
Let's roll.
Okay, let's roll. First question that came in from the Take Two family is, Rick, can you explain why praying the Chaplet of Divine Mercy by the bedside of the dying is so important?
First of all, praying at the bedside of a dying person is important. Any prayers. But specifically, St. Faustina was directed by... St. Faustina wrote, "One of the greatest works of mercy we can perform, and one often overlooked, is to pray for the dying." For St. Faustina, this was an important aspect of her mission of mercy. She writes, "Oh, dying souls are in such need of prayer." St. Faustina wrote in her diary, "Oh, Jesus, inspire souls to pray often for the dying." Debbie, I've been present at the dying of many people, and I can tell you it makes a tremendous difference, whether it's the rosary or the chaplet. But Jesus told St. Faustina, praying as much as you can for the dying, by your entreaties or your humble requests, obtain for them trust in my mercy, because they have most need of trust and have it the least. Be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls in their final moments depends on your prayers. That's entry 1777 in the diary, and those are the words of Jesus. And he says in another area of the diary that people who are dying need prayers the most and receive them the least. And I don't know if I know you've had experience with illness, Debbie, and sometimes when you're very ill, and I've had this happen to me, as much as I pray, I find it difficult or more difficult to pray when I don't feel well.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I need it. Have you experienced that?
Oh, absolutely. I count on the prayers of others. I just feel so weak and drained. And I just, it's like I really need to bathe in prayers all around me. And I count on and lean on the prayers of others. But Rick, let me just, and we're already getting messages coming in. We're talking about the Divine Mercy devotion. We're talking about St. Faustina, the diary. And you referenced the diary already and the entry into the diaries. So we need to start at the beginning, because we're getting comments already. Can Rick go all the way back to the beginning and tell us how this diary got started? So Rick, we're going to hit the pause button in just a couple minutes. If you can do it in less than 2 minutes, could you just go back for a minute? Let's rewind and go back to the beginning on this great saint, Saint Faustina.
Saint Faustina had a spiritual director, Father Michael Sopochko, and he was spending so much time and direction for her that he directed her, and as did Jesus, to start writing it down. And that's where the diary came from. And she said to Jesus, how am I supposed to do this? I don't even have a good pen. And she obtained a pen, she obtained the paper, and whenever she had time available, she was writing things down. And that's where the diary came from. It's 699 pages. And also the incredible power that God can give an individual with the grace. St. Faustina only had 2.5 years of formal education. She wasn't educated formally, but she was intelligent enough to do, you know, to do what God directed her. The Holy Spirit was guiding her in all of her writings, but the diary came from her direction from Father Michael Sopochko and from Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And this was in the 1930s?
This was in the 1930s. She was born in 1905 and she died in 1938. So she died at 33, which is obviously the same age that Jesus was.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
When he passed away.
Okay, we're going to hit our first break here, and when we come back, more of this wonderful, deep devotion that so many of us love, and we actually draw great strength from this Divine Mercy devotion. We're going to talk about St. Faustina, the diary, the messages in the diary, what it means for us today. You hear that music? Michael's right on cue. Thank you so much, Michael McCall, our great producer. Pedro's on social media, so get your comments in for Rick Paolini. He's a dear friend of Take Twos. We just love him. He's taught us so much about this Divine Mercy devotion, and your questions, I will ask them on your behalf, and Rick will happily and graciously answer them, and that'll be wonderful. We'll all walk away a little bit changed, a little bit closer to God. So stay with us. We're talking all about Divine Mercy today, and you can get your questions in. You can email us, take2@ewtn.com. In the chats, Pedro will happily pick those up, or you can always text us. You text the letters EWTN to 58177, wait for our response. Then you text us your first name and your brief question or comment for Rick Paolini, and just know that message and data rates may apply. I am getting a lot of messages. We are getting our phones back. Don't worry. You guys love to be on the phones, and we love to hear your beautiful voice. So that will happen again. We definitely want that too, and it'll be wonderful. It'll be a nice, clear connection. Okay, so before we get back to Divine Mercy, Rick, wanted to share this ebook, The 12 Stations of the Most Holy Eucharist. The 12 Stations of the Most Holy Eucharist are designed to deepen the understanding of the Eucharist, which is considered the source and summit of the Catholic faith. This free ebook is available right now at ewtn.com/Carlo Acutis. That is how you get the free ebook. So, Rick, we do need to even rewind again. We talked about St. Faustina when she received the messages, when she put together the diary that is just such a very thick, dense diary that has a lot of information in it. But we need to go back even at the beginning of why you became such an incredible friend of Take Twos. And Rick, for many, many years, I got to work alongside you for pledge drives for the Station of the Cross and a wonderful radio network out of Buffalo and Boston and other surrounding areas and many states. And you constantly, Rick, talked about Divine Mercy, constantly. And honest to goodness, I said to Jerry Usher one night, I said, Jerry, I just don't get it. He is so hooked on divine mercy. What's the deal? What is really the deal? And I started on my breaks listening to you on pledge drives. And I was like, it had transformed me. It had changed my whole entire spiritual direction. I know that's a lot to say about spiritual growth, but I'm telling you, this devotion is a spiritual game changer. And Rick, I just have to thank you for being so consistent, so passionate, and so much of a dedicated to these messages for all of us, because they are just incredible. And it allows us to have an insight into how to conduct our spiritual lives and all for all of eternity, because everything that St. Faustina experienced. Now, I understand it's a private revelation and we don't have to believe it. I understand that as a good and faithful Catholic. But I will tell you that this is an incredible devotion that can really, elevate and increase the spiritual depth of a person's Christian life. So, Rick, so that's, I hope I stated it correctly, but I just want to thank you again. I've thanked you on air many times, but I think I need to do it all the way to my dying breath. So,
well, Jesus gave it to St. Faustina to give to us so that we can all enjoy heaven eternally. And to continue with the mercy for dying, in particular, Jesus recommended to St. Faustina to use the chaplet to aid the dying. And these are the words of Jesus in entry 811, 811 in the diary. At the hour of their death, I defend as my own glory every soul that will say this chaplet, or when others say it for a dying person, the indulgence is the same. And Jesus also told St. Faustina that when the chaplet is said for the dying, I defend the soul not as a just judge, but as the merciful Savior. So when you're praying that chaplet, you're invoking Jesus to treat that soul with mercy instead of justice, instead of judgment. And that's what he promised. If you do that, that doesn't mean that the person is absolutely going to go to heaven, because we have free will and we have the free will to say no, even when someone else is doing something that has efficacy to help us get to heaven. If we say no, you don't get it. But the point was, that is one of the things that I have seen happen so many times praying at the bedside of the dying. One of my relatives several years ago, I went every day and every single day and prayed the chaplet with the family. And her daughter told me, you bring such, the prayers of the chaplet bring such peace every day. She said, please keep coming. And that's what the gift is. When you trust in Jesus for that grace, it flows. It absolutely flows. And I would just end this segment. There's so much you could say about it. It says, God's mercy sometimes touches the soul at the last moment in a wondrous and mysterious way. Outwardly, it may seem as if everything were lost, but it is not so. The soul, illumined by a ray of God's powerful final grace, turns to God in the last moment with such a power of love that in an instant it receives from God forgiveness of sin and punishment. And believe me, I've said that the chaplet at the bedside of some pretty stiff souls, and I've seen a tremendous change in their disposition, in their peace, and they died a beautiful death.
Wow. Amazing. You know, there's another reason I really like you, Rick. You are so humble about this. I mean, what is the driving force behind why you promote Divine Mercy and the messages of St. Faustina? Because you do it in such a beautiful, humble, gentle way, and it's coming from your heart. It's not, I mean, you know a lot. You know probably the diary inside and out, but you have a lot that's in your head, but it's coming from your heart. Where does that, what's the why behind it?
I knelt before St. Faustina before the Divine Mercy image in St. Luke's Mission of Mercy in Buffalo, New York. And my brother and Emmy Beatros, who are both deceased, had started that mission. And it was the only mission it was the only church in this area that had the image on the wall the way that they have it there. It's a mosaic and it's beautiful. And I knelt before that the first time they were having a novena in honor of St. Maria Faustina. And I said, Jesus, you know my heart. I want to spread this message. I want people to know of your mercy. And I want to be an instrument of mercy for St. Faustina and for you. And it's the fastest answer I ever received to a prayer, because Amy Beatros walked out of the sacristy and it was 6:58. The program was supposed to start at 7:00. And she walked past me and said, I want you to lead the novena. Wow. And I would like you to say a few words about St. Faustina. And just walked away.
Wow.
And I said, that was the fastest answer I ever had to a prayer. I was a nervous wreck,
right?
Because I had prepared nothing. But we're here for the salvation of souls. And as many people as I can get the message to, that Jesus loves them so much that he died for them. Mm-hmm. And that he wants us to trust in his mercy, and no one who is willing to say, I'm a sinner, I've sinned, but I love you, Jesus, and I do ask for your forgiveness,
right,
will receive it. Yeah. And as many people as I can get that message to, believe me, I speak to a lot of people. One of my former pastors said, I just don't believe it. Mm. And there was nothing I could do. And again, it's private revelation. It's not mandatory for anyone to believe it, but I've seen such evidence of God's mercy and forgiveness, and I've seen souls saved, and I just want to keep doing it, and I want to live it as an example of divine mercy.
Well, you do it quite well, Rick, and I thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. But moving on to the next question, because it's kind of in line with what you were just talking about the messages. We had one of our Take Two family members say, the Diary of St. Faustina seems overwhelming to read. Is there a way to understand it better in smaller doses? Could you explain that? Because you referenced entries to it, and sometimes, I mean, I've said this to people. I've given the diary out as Christmas gifts, and I will tell you that I just told people to meditate on one entry. I mean, because one entry just speaks volumes.
It's a diary. It is not a novel. And if you take a look at the diary itself, you're going to see next to some of the entries, there's a little squiggle there. There's a plus, and then there's another plus a few entries on. And those are the way that St. Faustina marked the diary when she wrote. So she would write a reflection, two or three of them, and then she'd put a plus. Then she'd put another plus, like I'm looking at entry 156 and 157. She only wrote the one that day. Some days she wrote 10. So she wrote in a way that breaks it up.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're trying to read it as a novel, you're going to have trouble. I started to read it because Amy Beatros, who I mentioned before, gave me a novel. She gave me a copy of the diary, she and my brother, and said, you're going to love this. And I think I've told you before, it took me a year and a half after I started reading it to pick it up again. Because the more I read, I thought that, to be honest, I thought there was something wrong with St. Faustina. Hmm. I thought this is just bizarre to me. And I saw what they were doing at the mission. I said, they founded this mission on this diary. And I said, I'm missing something. And actually what I did, I read a book. It's Faustina, Apostle of Divine Mercy by Catherine M. O'Dell.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused me to go back because I learned so much about St. Faustina in that book that it made sense to me. It made sense because her relationship with Jesus, it was like the relationship, it was beyond the relationship I have with my wife. And Friday we celebrated 55 years of marriage. And let me tell you, it was freaky to me to see, and I'm thinking, you know, St. Faustina, that's Jesus. Mm. And you know what? She was his spouse. Mm. And all nuns are his spouse. So in reading that book, it gave me insight into who St. Faustina was, how she grew up, what she was like. And when I got back into the diary, it started to make so much more sense to me. And I've probably read it 2 or 3 times, but you can't read it as a novel. If you read it as a novel, it's going to be confusing because there's no correlation sometimes between the entries.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely recommend find a book. Faustina, Apostle of Divine Mercy, I think is only available. I've seen it through Amazon and other places, but mm-hmm. I don't think it's in print to get a new copy, but I think there are used copies that you can receive. But if you read it, I guarantee you there's something in there that's going to touch you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that's what 343 and 344 are what touched me.
Mm. Wow. Powerful. Okay. So this very important message just came in from one of our incredible, beautiful souls that listen to Take Two from the great state of Texas. This just came in, Rick, and I want you to really spend some time on this because I think a lot of people can relate to this in various ways, maybe not but as serious as suicide, but just with the dying and divine mercy. So listen to this question that just came in. This mom was praying the rosary and the divine mercy chaplet in adoration during the time when her son died by suicide. Is the grace and mercy also the same as praying at the bedside of a dying soul? And I know where you're going to go with this, Rick, and I've heard Father Chris Aylar talk about this as well, and that is that God stands outside of time. So clearly, you know, it can be applied to those that are dying, even if you're not by the bedside. But I want to hear your answer. So this beautiful mom who I know very well and is just a wonderful, faithful woman of God, and she was praying the rosary and Divine Mercy chaplet at the time when her son died by suicide.
You do not have to be at the bedside. It's very specific in the instructions that says that the grace is the same whether you're at the bedside or not. The other thing is, and Father Chris Aylar was one of my teachers, so I was very blessed by having some of the very best help me to come along with my knowledge of divine mercy. I don't know everything, but I do try to be very specific in terms. But for her, from what I know of everything about divine mercy, her son absolutely had every opportunity to take advantage of the graces of the chaplet at his death. I was giving a talk about divine mercy at my parish once, Debbie.
Okay, can you hold it right there, Rick? You're going to talk about the talk you were given at your parish. Hold it right there, Rick, and we'll pick up on the other side of this break. You hear the music. This is a very powerful discussion we're having on divine mercy. We need you to stay tuned in the entire hour. You can send your questions in by text or by the chat or by email. We'll be right back. We're so glad you tuned in. We're talking about the Diary of St. Faustina, and we're also talking about the devotion that's associated with the diary, and that is the the amazing, you see the images in all of the churches around the world. And we'll talk about that too, why John Paul II felt the need to spread the image all across the entire planet. So there you go. It's pretty amazing. But before we get back to Rick, and Rick is going to tell us about when he was speaking at a church, and this all relates to the Divine Mercy devotion. So hang in there, guys. Stay with us. If you're not sure what we're talking about, well, by the end of this episode, you will have a better understanding. So just sit back and listen and absorb, or you can send us an email, a text, or in the chats, Pedro will pick them up for us. Okay, before we get back to your talk at the church, Rick, and we're with our dear friend Rick Paolini from the Station of the Cross. He's the business manager there and also the host of the podcast Divine Mercy in My Soul with Father Jacek Mazur. But I want to say a big shout out and congratulations going out to another great EWTN radio partner celebrating 9 years with us. Drum roll, please. That's amazing. 9 years. WSRR 99.3 FM serving Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Congratulations to Richard Richard and everyone at St. Rose Radio from your friends here at EWTN. 9 years. Amazing. You guys at a Station of the Cross, you passed 25 years already, right?
Next, August 15th. Oh, next week.
So 26? Wow.
It's
coming
actually
up.
Actually, Friday.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. The Feast of the Assumption. Years. Very nice. Yes. So you guys got 25 years. This wonderful radio station in Murfreesboro has got 9 years. A lot of souls being reached with Catholic radio. That is incredible, and the messages that they hear, including what we're talking about today, Divine Mercy. So tell us about this talk at the church.
Well, I was talking about Divine Mercy, and I was speaking to the efficacy of the chaplet for the dying. And after the talk, a young lady came up to me, and when I tell you, she was a mess. And I said, "What can I do? What's wrong?" And she was just sobbing, sobbing, sobbing. And she said, "My mom died, I forgot how many years ago now, but she says, I didn't know about the chaplet then." And I said, "I have some very good news for you. God is outside of time. And God knew when your mother died that you would hear about this chaplet today. And if you go home tonight and pray this chaplet, it will be and has been applied to your mother's soul." And oh my goodness, what she said, "Really?" And I said, "Yes." And I said, "I have it on very good authority, very good authority." And that's one of the things that we were taught, that God is outside of time, and prayers of any kind, they're outside of time. So you can, if there's someone that you know of that you want to pray the chaplet for, pray it. Say, "I offer this. I know they died 10 years ago. I know they died 20 years ago." And leave it in God's hands. Leave it for Jesus. His mercy, he said, neither man nor angel will ever be able to understand the depth of my mercy. Because we apply human standards to things, Debbie. And God's mercy is outside of anything that we could ever imagine. So, yes, for the lady who was praying that chaplet for her son, I with every belief that I have, those graces were offered to him, and it was up to him to accept them.
Yeah. Yeah. The caption right underneath the image, "Jesus, I trust in you." Rick, talk about that a little bit. This is my question. Actually, I know the answer because I've heard you speak about it many times, but I want our Take Two family, because I want everybody up to speed on this, because there's a lot of things circulating on social media about all these different private revelations and devotions and things. And some people are for it. Some people are against it. Some people try to pick it apart, but you're always going to have that. That's human nature. People are always going to be critical about things. But I really want you to talk about this, the caption, Jesus, I trust in you. The prayer, Jesus, I trust in you. It's all about trust in Jesus and let him do the work. And if we show our trust, then so many things, all things are possible, right? Matthew 19:26, with God, all things are possible. Talk a little bit about that, Rick.
Well, first of all, the image is the image that St. Faustina saw when she was praying in her cell. And Jesus said, paint an image according to what you see and sign it with the signature, Jesus, I trust in you. He didn't say sign it with the slogan. He said sign it with the image, Jesus, I trust in you. And what that is, when you sign something, you're saying, I believe in this. When you go someplace and they say, would you sign this? You're putting yourself to that. I do believe this. And there actually, some people have had the image produced with no signature. And what they do, there's a line there and they have a program. And then they say, if you believe this, we want you to sign this. Jesus, I trust in you. Because so many people don't trust Jesus. And there are so many things that, to be honest, when I look at them, there are certain areas that I trust 100% in Jesus. And some of them, I'll take 75, you can have 25. I'm going to give you 25. Do you know what I mean? We all have things that we don't trust. And Faustina was 100% trusting in Jesus. When he said, I want you to be the secretary of my mercy, that's when she said, I don't even have a pen to write with. I don't have an education. He chose her, and she did it, 699 pages. There are so many things in my life that I end up being frightened, and then I say, sorry, Jesus, I trust you. I trust in you. And I've told you the story when my daughter had her fifth or sixth child. She had seven children. And her husband called and said, I'm going to need some help. She lived in New Hampshire. She still lives in New Hampshire. And he said, they were sledding today. And my wife, your daughter, broke her back. And he had a baby that was just a couple of months old, five other children. And I panicked. And I said to my wife, what are we going to do? You know, they're so far away. We've got to get you there. We've got to do this. We've got to do that. And you know how the panic sets in?
Mm-hmm. Oh,
and
yeah.
I said, you know what? I have to practice what I preach.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus, I trust in you. And I said to my wife, let's say a chaplet and then go from there. So we said a chaplet. I called, made a reservation for my wife to fly out. She flew out. She was there. And we had so many people praying for her that she was in a cast from her neck down to her thighs for 6 months. And then they said, it's going to be 6 months of rehab. They took the cast off. And they said, you don't need any rehab. Mm-hmm. You're perfectly healed. And when she called me and told me that, I said, oh my goodness. And you know what she said? With so many people praying for me, I would expect nothing less.
Amazing. Amazing. You know, I loved how you just said that. You know, I have to practice what I preach. It just makes me think about when I went into surgery in January, almost 85% blind. And I felt the same way. I said, okay, Lord, it's me and you. I guess I have to practice what I preach. I mean, you really get to that point where you say, you know what, I've really got to live this. I can't just talk about it. I have to really start putting it into practice and believing in it and really saying, Jesus, I trust in you. And when you did that, you and your beautiful wife saying the prayers and then taking care of your daughter, guess what? Things happened. You were able to be sustained on those prayers. And see, that's what I think is so beautiful for people to take away from this idea that if we really do trust, Rick, if we really do step over that doubt and even that tug of war that we play with God, where we give him the trust and then we take it back and then we give him the trust and then we take it back, that's when we really will see those miracles happen, right?
Absolutely. But you know what? Jesus knows us. He knows everything about us. And he knows that when we when we doubt that with his grace, we can trust again and again and again. And when you trust, when you take a look, the apostles, when Jesus died on the cross, they thought, oh, here we thought it was all set. The Savior was here. And they trusted, they hid, they were frightened. Mm-hmm. But then all of a sudden, he comes and he says, I am alive. I'm alive. But I told you that it was going to be okay. I told you that I was going to die. But even the apostles, you know, look at Peter. I don't even know him. And he swore. He was angry. Don't mm-hmm. connect me with him.
Right.
And Jesus knew that. And he recovered beautifully and became the first pope. And, you know, the image, you could speak about the image that Jesus has given to us. And it's, you know, one of the questions that you had was, what's the difference between the Divine Mercy Devotion and St. Margaret Mary Alacoque? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
There's a difference in that the Sacred Heart, which she promoted, had 12 promises. But if you take a look at the heart, Jesus wanted people to see his heart. He wanted people to know that he loved them, that he's there for their salvation. And if you read the 12 promises, and you can Google them, we don't have time to do them now, their ways again. Every saint has a way to help us get to heaven. The Sacred Heart was the one for St. Margaret Mary. In the image, the Divine Mercy image, the heart is not visible, but it shows the red and the white rays coming from that heart. That it's not just showing us how much Jesus loves us. It's that extension of love that says, my love is coming to you in the form of these rays. And the red ray is life. It's Eucharist. The white ray, that's penance. That's forgiveness. So I'm giving you life. I'm giving you food. I'm giving you forgiveness. That it's not just showing the heart. Right. And letting us know that he loves us. It's showing that heart is active. It's giving us life. It's giving us forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
He has his hand. His right hand is raised in blessing. If you take a look at the feet, the left foot is in front of the right foot, which means that Jesus is coming to us.
Mm.
It's a very active picture. It's a very active image. He's dressed as the risen Christ in a white alb. So again, I've given talks on this, and I've heard talks that go on for an hour plus on the image. Mm-hmm. But the point is, it's knowing that our Lord is there for us to get us to heaven, to live a life that is not free from difficulty. But in the difficulty, we have to trust in him. And when you trust in him, there's a peace that comes over you that is beyond description. Hmm. I am a much more peaceful person than I ever was in my life. And it's because of divine mercy, because the things that bother me don't bother me anywhere near as much because I trust that Jesus is with me. Not because I deserve it, but because he said he would be with us if we trusted in him.
I completely agree with you, Rick. I feel the same way because of this devotion. The peace that it just settles in your heart and in the way you conduct your life, it's so obvious when you start to really live out and believe in this devotion. You know, it's interesting, Rick. Let's do this for a moment because we're going to run out of time, and I want to make sure our listeners get a full picture of these Divine Mercy messages. John Paul II, great Pope that we had in the year 2000, canonized Saint Faustina, right? So this the image that went around is displayed in every single church around the world, and then also this devotion is relatively young when you think about it, right? 20-25 years.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's relatively young. So we're learning more about it. We're trying to bring it into our spiritual life. But there are a lot of critics out there, Rick. And let's talk about this. The first thing I want to ask you is, why did John Paul II feel the need to put the image in every single church? And I have to tell you, since I picked up the devotion and have taken it on really deeply in our lives, Marty and I are strong devotees of Divine Mercy now. That's the first image I look for in the church when I go into the church, which I never did before. I worked for the church for 25 years. I never even noticed it. I mean, it's really quite interesting how it heightens the senses. But go ahead, Rick, answer that about John Paul II feeling the need to get the image in every single church around the world.
First of all, the Divine Mercy devotion, I believe it was 1958, was outlawed. There were bad translations, and there were things attributed to Faustina that really were Jesus. And again, because of the bad translation, they had to take out the images. The one at St. Luke's was covered. They didn't take it out. And John Paul was the bishop, the archbishop in Poland. And I believe it was 1977. I may be a little off on that. But he started the recovery of the devotion, and he did what was necessary for the church to lift the devotion. And Father Michalenko and his sister retranslated the diary from Polish to English and corrected some of those errors that were in there. But he writes in June 7th, 1997, this is John Paul II, "There is nothing that man needs more than divine mercy, that love which is benevolent, which is compassionate, which raises man above his weakness to the infinite heights of the holiness of God. In this place," and he's at the tomb of St. Faustina in Poland, "in this place we become particularly aware of this. From here, in fact, went out the message of divine mercy that Christ himself chose to pass on to our generation through St. Faustina. And it is a message that is clear and understandable for everyone. Anyone can come here, look at this image of the merciful Jesus, his heart radiating peace, and hear in the depths of his own soul what St. Faustina heard. Fear nothing. I am always with you." And those were the words of Jesus to St. Faustina. Mm-hmm. "And if this person responds with a sincere heart, 'Jesus, I trust in you,' he will find comfort in all his anxieties and fears. Mm-hmm. I come to you here to commend the concerns of the church and of humanity to the merciful Christ. On the threshold of the third millennium," again, it was 1997, "I come to entrust to him once more my Petrine ministry. 'Jesus, I trust in you.'" Mm-hmm. His ministry was devoted to the spread of divine mercy.
Beautiful. Beautiful. That's why I love John Paul II. We are such a beautiful time to have this devotion. Okay, Rick, we're going to have to try to squeeze in these two questions that just came in, but I want to share with our listeners Podcast Central, Power and Witness. Another great podcast on EWTN's Podcast Central is Power and Witness. Father Mark Mary and his guests discuss the witness of faith as they dive into the profound message of divine mercy, from Faustina's revelations to the transformative power of the Holy Spirit in the world today. You can hear this and other faith-filled podcasts at EWTN Podcast Central. Visit EWTN.com/podcasts today. Okay, here are the two questions that just came in, and I want to make sure you have plenty of time to address them, Rick. And they're asking you of the guest today. That's you, Rick Paolini. So, does the divine mercy in my soul contain stuff from the original diary, or are those lost from the burning?
St. Faustina originally wrote several pages, and her spiritual director was away, and she had a visitation by an evil angel that told her that she should burn what she had written. And she did it. Now, what she wrote after that, because when her spiritual director returned, he was not happy. And he told her, do not ever follow any direction other than your superior or myself when it comes to the writings that you're doing. So she started to rewrite. I honestly don't know what the rewrite is, but I am sure that it's what God, the Holy Spirit, was inspiring her to write. You know, sometimes when we lose track of something that we've written and we have to rewrite it, to be honest, sometimes it's better the second time. I don't know if you found that, Debbie.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
You know, and I've written things 3 or 4 or 5 times and I go, you know, I'm pleased with the first writing. And then I go to sleep and I wake up and I go, oh, well, you know what? Maybe this or, oh, you know what? And by the 3 or 4th writing, it's better than it was first.
Right.
So do I know specifically if, in fact, she rewrote it perfectly? I kind of doubt that. But the point is, what she wrote is what God intended her to have in the diary. Now, I don't know if that completely answers that question, but if that's the burning that she's speaking of, yes, she did burn her original diary.
And that's part of the whole criticism and controversy around these messages. But, you know, like you went back and talked about John Paul II. I mean, he's such an amazing, he was such an amazing pope and an incredible saint. Saint Faustina is a strong and powerful, devoted saint. I mean, you know, yeah, we don't have to believe these because it is private revelation. But I got to tell you, there's so much in the messages that speak to our lives today as Christians. I mean, it's just so natural for us to look into these messages and really start to bring them into our spiritual life and the confidence that we can pull from this to have a very focused life on Jesus with building the trust we have in Jesus. I can't stress it enough, folks. I mean, I'm telling you, this was a complete game changer for me. And I'm so grateful to Rick and the Station of the Cross for the opportunity to even be exposed to it. But see, you're being introduced to it maybe today on Catholic Radio. Look into it. You know, start to listen to the podcast that mentioned Divine Mercy and see if you could bring the devotion into your spiritual life and your prayer regimen. I can tell you, you won't regret it. You'll absolutely love it. So Kasia says this, Rick. Kasia sent in this. It's actually a comment. Today, 14 years ago, I was at my mother's bedside in the hospital as she was dying. I had the honor to pray the chaplet continuously until she took her last breath. Mom, may you rest in eternal peace. Wow, Kasia, that was a beautiful. Yeah, beautiful way to sum up this wonderful episode. Rick, you're going to have to keep going for at least another, I say this to pretty much all our guests, another 50 years at least, Rick. So you got to keep going because you got to keep this message alive and well and for everybody to tap into it so that they can have their best spiritual walk here. And any final comments in the last minute we have?
Yes. Make this a part of your spirituality. Don't make it everything. I am more active in my Catholic faith than I have ever been in all aspects of it. Jesus allowed me to introduce, he introduced me to the Father and to the Spirit in ways that I have never, ever had relationship. And it's because of my relationship with him through the diary. And pray for souls that are dead. I pray every day, Debbie, for the souls in purgatory, every single day, and I pray for them by name.
Wow. Yep, absolutely. Pray for the souls in purgatory and for those who have no one to pray for them. Okay, I take it back, Rick. We just got Joe from YouTube real quickly wants to know, is it true that the drawing of the image was difficult to do? You got about 30 seconds, Rick.
Yes, it was. It was very difficult, and when it was finished, St. Faustina cried, and Jesus told her, it's not in the beauty of the image. It's in the graces that come from that image. And he said, go to that image, venerate it, and you will receive many, many graces. That's why I always carry a picture of the image in my pocket.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I have a picture of the image right here in my home studio, right about 2 feet from me. I love it. I actually say, Jesus, I trust in you probably 1,000 times a day, Rick. I may be accused of a little bit of OCD, but that's okay because it helps me. So I hope it helped everyone today with this wonderful episode with our friend Rick Paolini from the Station of the Cross. Rick, thank you so much. Please visit us again, okay?
Amen.
Amen.
I'm glad to. God bless you all.
Thank you, Rick. Okay, what another great live broadcast. Share it with your friends. We believe it's a good use of social media when you get these episodes out to friends so you can help them grow closer to God. Jesus, we trust in you. Thank you to Michael and Pedro, our show team today. Great job, you guys. All the affiliates that carry Take Two Live, you are doing such a good service to your listeners. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And tomorrow we've got another live broadcast prepared for you. So until then, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.